our Christmas meditation. Let's pray. Father, I don't want the praise to end. You inhabit the praises of your people. You are here. Father, I pray that your Spirit would turn our hearts to draw near to you. As we think about the things in your word, the things that Christ has come to accomplish, that we would honor him as Lord, as King, as God. Lord, we pray that you would comfort Frank and his family as they will mourn the loss of this dear loved one. I pray that they would find comfort in the one who is the resurrection and the life. Lord, that is our hope, that the eternal God takes on flesh to come live the life that we couldn't live, to die the death that we deserve, taking the wrath of God and paying it in full, that it is finished. And in 3 days, rising again as the victorious, conquering King. May you speak peace to this family. May you speak peace to our hearts, as many of us will miss loved ones this year, as we miss those who have gone home to be with you. Let us give you praise for their life. Let us give you praise that they're with you now. Lord, teach us the living hope of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Luke 2:15-20. Luke 2:15-20. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went away with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made it known, saying what had been told them concerning this child. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. This is the key verse for this evening. Verse 19, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And when the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told them." By this time, tomorrow, many of you will be filled with joy and excitement over the presents that you will discover and you will receive. Some presents, like the socks and the underwear, you will ignore. Others you will treasure. Just this week I saw a video on YouTube of this little girl about Karina's age, I guess about 10 years old, and she's sitting there holding this stuffed animal by a Christmas tree. And you see this mother come walking by with a little puppy and replaces the stuffed animal with this puppy. This little girl just weeps. "Oh, Mommy. Oh, Mommy. It's a puppy. I love her, Mommy." And she's just so in love with this dog, and I told my wife, "Wait till the first time it pees on her carpet." We receive gifts at Christmas time that we treasure. We treasure for a moment, but within an hour, within a couple hours, they start to lose their glimmer a little. In verse 19, it talks about Mary treasuring up all these things, gifts to treasure. Mary is starting to discover all kinds of things about this baby boy that she is to give birth to. This one who is a gift, this one who is miraculously born. She's treasuring up all these things. This idea of treasure is to keep close, to preserve, to defend, to take joy in. Something that you really embrace. You don't want to let it go. Christ and the truth of his work is where our ultimate treasure is found. For it's there you will find lasting joy. It is in Him you will find lasting peace. It's in no other that you will find an eternal, unending love. It's good to enjoy the gifts this Christmas, but it's my prayer that you would treasure the One who gives us all gifts, especially the gift of His Son. Mary was discovering truths about this boy named Jesus that she would keep close, that she would preserve, that she would defend, that she would own. For in Christ it was her answer. For Christ it was her hope. He is the One who would come to heal her. He would be the One who come to restore her, give her peace, give her life, give her hope. This Christmas, consider again where your treasure is and who your treasure ought to be. As you think of Christ, do you think of Him more as a spare tire in the trunk of your car? And when something goes off the rails or you get a flat, then you'll go to the trunk and bring Him out. Or is He one that you treasure? That He is your God. That He is one you honor. He is the holy and loving One, One that you follow. Martin Luther, in one of his songs, when he thinks of the world and the good gifts that we have around us, he says, "Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also. Find your joy, find your hope in Christ." There's many reasons to treasure Christ. We'll just focus on three tonight. We treasure Christ for He is God. We treasure Christ for He is King. And we treasure Christ because He is Savior. Well, let's look at what Mary was discovering and why she needed to treasure these things. From the time of the shepherd's announcement from Gabriel to after the shepherds came, listen to these truths that Mary is hearing in Luke 1:31. It says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and you will bear a son. You shall call His name Jesus. He will be great and He will be called Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom there will be no end." And later on in the passage, it says, "For the child to be born to you will be called Holy, the Son of God." We are called to treasure Christ because He's the eternal God in flesh. Eternal God in flesh. Timothy Keller writes about this. He says, "Some have argued that the supreme miracle of Christianity is not the resurrection, but the incarnation. The eternal, the omnipotent creator of the universe took on human nature without the loss of His deity. So that Jesus, the son of Joseph, the son of a carpenter's son, was both wholly divine and fully human. Of all the things that Christianity proclaims, this is the most staggering." Charles Spurgeon puts it this way, "The infinite becomes an infant. He is eternal, yet He is born of a woman. Oh, the wonder of Christmas." You may think of Jesus as just a baby. He is not. You may think of Jesus as just a man. He is not. You may think of Jesus as another teacher. He is not. In Colossians 1, it declares that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the heir of all creation. For by Jesus all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. He is before all things, and in Jesus all things hold together. For in Him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. This eternal, holy, transcendent God comes near. He takes on human flesh, not to be born in a palace, not to a big parade and fanfare, but to be born in a manger stall. He knows what it's like to be an infant. He knows what it's like to be a child. He knows what it's like to be a teenager. He knows what it's like to be adult. And he goes through and he enters this life, the eternal God, still being God, takes on human flesh to make himself known to us, to be acquainted with all of our ways, yet without sin, to live in our place, to die in our place. There's no other like him. He is the infinite God, acquainted with your ways. And he overcomes. We treasure Christ because he's God. As you think of the Christmas gifts, as you look at the lights, you need to treasure. You need to ponder. You need to honor. These are things you just can't hear and let go. That he loves you. He comes near. He's God in the flesh. The second thing we treasure is that Christ is our long-awaited King. Christ is our long-awaited King. In Luke 1:31 it says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." Not for 4 years. Not for 8 years, but forever. After our past election and all the craziness that goes on in our political realm, we don't think too highly of our rulers of our land. But Jesus is a king. He's not a tyrant. He's good. He is just. He rules. He reigns. He sees. He will defend and protect his people. He sees all the injustices going on in the world. And he will set things right. Jesus is not to be ignored. He's not someone to be scoffed at. He's not someone to look at and disregard. He is the King. Demands our attention. Demands our allegiance. He's not someone we can reject without judgment. From the time of Adam, there was this promise that there would be a son to come to restore things and make things right. That the evil and wickedness that Satan brought in by deceiving Adam and Eve, the son would come to destroy the works of the evil one, and the people of God waited. To the time of Abraham, where God would say to Abraham, "There will be one to come through you, Abraham, that will bless all the peoples of the world." To the time of Moses, where God told Moses, "There will come a prophet like you, Moses, but there's even greater, and the people need to listen to him." To the time of David, when God tells David, "There will be a son to come, David. He will sit on your throne and rule forever." To the prophets who would see this king who would come and be the suffering servant, the people have waited. They've waited for deliverance. They've waited for justice. And Jesus is now here. And the justice that he first brings is the justice of our sin. That this baby, who is a king, would take the justice and wrath of God for each and every one of my thoughts and deeds and actions that were totally wicked and wrong to make me just. That God's wrath would be satisfied. He came to bring justice. For all those who would call upon him, for all those who would trust on him, he says, "I have taken the penalty of your sin." And for those who would harm God's people, those who would continue to reject King Jesus, he says, "There's a day coming, and I will make things right." In Psalm 2, it says to the rulers and nations of the world, "You need to turn and worship this King Jesus, his wrath to turn. If you set up and try to fight and reject Jesus, his wrath will be unleashed." He is a king. He sees the tragedy. He sees the injustices that you feel. He doesn't turn a blind eye to it. And it will either be paid for by the work of Jesus on the cross, or he will execute judgment himself. After his life, after his death, after his resurrection, Jesus ascends and reigns as king to take his rightful throne. But even before that, he's called a king as a baby. Charles Spurgeon writes, a very singular thing this is, that Jesus was said to have been born a king of the Jews. Very few have been born a king. Many are born princesses, but they're seldom born a king. I don't think you can find any instance in history where an infant is born a king. This is why the wise men come. They bring gifts. They worship this eternal God who is king. And he is a king to follow. He gives his people power. He takes a handful of disciples, gives them his spirit, gives them the task to take the living hope of Christ, this one who can take away sins, this one who can overcome the grave, and these people go into this Roman Empire who worship many, many gods, who had all kinds of authority and power, and within a couple hundred years or less, is Christianized. And since that time, many, many people are coming to faith. Many people are receiving and bowing down to Lord Jesus as king. He is a king to be treasured. He is God in the flesh. And the last thing, we treasure him because he is your Savior. You need to treasure him because he is your Savior. In verse 11 it says, "For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This God who took on flesh, this God who is a king, came to love. He came to rescue, and it would cost him his life. He would come to rescue from a life of chaos, a life of darkness, a life of sin that we wrestle with in our hearts and we see in the world around us. We sadly go on our way. We whistle in the dark, exalting ourselves while demeaning and destroying those closest to us and those around us. And Jesus says, "I love you." He says, "Stop, turn, receive me, and follow my ways. There's only light, there's only love, there's only peace." We see the darkness and hatred in the life of Jesus, this one who come only to love, only to heal, to bring truth. It would only be a matter of years to where they would nail him to the cross. And Jesus knew it all the time. And he went. He went willingly. He loved his people, and he would lay down his life that we would have peace, that you can celebrate tomorrow knowing that you possess eternal life if you honor Christ as King, if you honor Christ as God, and if you honor Christ as Savior, that he is your treasure. Do you treasure that? The only way you can treasure Christ as Savior is if you see your desperate need of a Savior. I love what John Chrysostom writes. He says, "Come, let us observe this thing that Jesus has done. Truly wondrous is the whole chronicle of this nativity. For on this day when Jesus is born, he sets in motion that the ancient slavery of sin is ended. The devil is confounded. The demons take flight. The power of death is broken. Paradise is unlocked. The curse is taken away. Sin is removed. Error is driving out. And truth has been brought back. All in this baby. Born in a manger stall. In the little town of Bethlehem. Some 2,000 years ago." You need to picture the countless millions that are worshiping today. They've been transformed by the Savior. Not because of anything righteous or wonderful in them. Jesus saw us in the worst state when we were rebelling and rejecting in him. He would come to change everything. To change his people's heart. To give them a living hope. To give them a better way. To give them peace, forgiveness, and everlasting life. In Christ there is hope. In Christ there is direction. Why not follow Him? My prayer for you this Christmas and every day is that you would treasure Christ more and more. Treasure Him as your God. Treasure Him as your King. Treasure Him as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent to rescue, to redeem. Lord, I pray that we would treasure this eternal, infinite one, and that our treasure would grow more and more, that our joy would increase of who we can possess and what we possess in Christ. We pray that you do these things. In Christ's name.